Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
It's the Hancock and Kelly Show here on KMOX. Good morning, John Hancock.
What's cooking, big boy?
Not much, man. I saw you on Super Bowl Sunday. You were preaching up in North City. You did an incredible job.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
How often do you get to preach?
Yeah, you know, every other month, probably.
Yeah, about once a quarter.
Yeah.
Impressive. Hey, man, so much to talk about. It's impossible for us to pick the topics, but let's start with something local.
All right.
Well, this is a national story as well. It's happening across the country. There's this push to build data centers across the country. There must be a dozen or so data centers proposed just here in the St. Louis region, whether it be in some of the further out counties, all the way in here to the Armory in the city of St. Louis. On Wednesday, they had a hearing about the potential data center that was going to take place at the Armory. And a huge crowd showed up, John, and they've got three concerns. Number one is power.
Right.
Number two is water. And number three is, you know, what is this? What do data centers mean? Just, you know, this general
fear
paranoia
of the unknown.
That exists. And what I don't understand is even if we did not build one more data center in this country, do you realize what humanity will be chasing next year and for the next 100 years?
What's that?
Power.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason we can't go to Mars right now is we haven't figured out how we're going to do it power-wise, et cetera. So there's this idea that power is the problem. I mean, we're always going to be looking to make more power.
I think the concern is the consumer cost. If these things come in and they're sapping a whole bunch of energy, is that going to drive up the energy rates for everybody else? And I think there's mixed results. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But yes, in terms of the need for energy, electricity,
right,
that's going to be ever increasing throughout the world, throughout the globe. It's why one of the reasons why Governor Kehoe in his State of the State message this year was really pushing the expansion of nuclear energy
right
in Missouri.
So then the second concern was water. Well, come on. Seriously, here in St. Louis, we're concerned about water. And we've got some of the best water in the country. I think we're only using 30% of the capacity that exists inside the city of St. Louis. We're worried about water?
Well, and the water concern is less of a concern because they're now building these things with what they call closed-looped systems.
Mm-hmm.
So they're recycling the same water over and over again. So the long-term implications on water are actually pretty minimal.
So then the next thing is there's a conversation about the tax dollars that it brings to the city of St. Louis. And it's significant. It's millions upon millions. And here's the other thing I learned this week. Did you know that there's data centers already in downtown St. Louis that take up entire buildings?
Have been there for years.
Yeah.
Some of them.
And now we're all concerned about these data centers. It just doesn't make any sense to me why a city that literally has nine of its skyscrapers right now in receivership
and vacant
because we don't have revenue to be able to get this place to work, why we wouldn't be opening these. I got to tell you, I'd like them to build a 40-story data center over at Southwestern Bell. I mean, the amount of money that would bring into this city for our schools, for our roads, for our... Yet you go over to City Hall today or any other conversation, they're trying to stop these from happening. They're trying to say, no, 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 the railroads should go through Chicago. This is idiotic.
Yeah, I think, and you don't see any kind of incentives required for these things. The folks that are building the data centers don't need tax incentives. money's not the issue for them. The capacity is the issue for them. And, you know, you look at the armory facility. They originally came out. The original proposal was they were going to put the data center in the armory building. And there was concern, I think legitimate, that we had just given tax incentives to the developer to remodel the interior of the armory. It was beautiful. And then the developer goes under. And so you've got this facility sitting there, and they said, okay, it's empty. It'd be a possible data center. There was public concern about that. So they went and reconfigured the proposal, and now they're turning that armory building that's all tricked out and beautiful inside, marble and so forth, and they're going to turn it into Class A office space for a couple hundred people, not related to the data center, but they're going to put the data center into the old famous bar warehouse that is, has been sitting vacant for
decades since the 90s?
Probably. And you know, if you're going to have a data center in there, and each one of those computing units is taxed individually under the personal property tax that businesses will pay for.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've come back, they listened to the community concerns, and they came back and they put a proposal on the table that is going to yield hundreds of millions of dollars for the city of St. Louis and the schools.
But isn't it disappointing to hear these? It often makes me wonder if some members of the Board of Aldermen even live in St. Louis, if they actually are observing what's going on, the fact that population is fleeing, revenues going down, downtown's losing tenants. We have all these buildings. We have no revenue. Look, do I think data centers are the greatest thing in the world? No, but I got to tell you, they didn't think railroads were the greatest thing in the world. It was the future when railroads came. We wouldn't build the bridge across the river, and as a result, the railroads went through Chicago. You look at this, this is what's going to run the global economy.
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it be run out of St. Louis?
Yeah, I think St. Louis is a natural fit for this, and so many communities are rejecting these things because of the fear of the unknown. And this is an opportunity for the city to get some much needed revenue in place and deal with an increasing problem of vacancy in these office buildings. What did I see the other day? Our vacancy rate is like 39% or something.
It's insane. It's just so sad what's happening to St. Louis. And the idea that we're making even bigger barriers for people to bring revenue and opportunity to St. Louis makes no sense to me.
But for the expansion of Ballpark Village and whatever's going on at the Millennium site, I can't think of any other large-scale private sector things that have been going on in St. Louis in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And, you know, I could have missed something, but And the Millennial is, you know, that's a government project. Right. Ballpark Village was privately funded. But, you know, the city needs to have vibrant economic activity that brings people down to go to work so that there's a critical mass of people that are walking around on the streets at lunchtime. And, you know, that in and of itself makes the city more safe if you've got an abundance of people congregated. You know, I think the data centers, they're not the total solution to the problem of the city, but it sure does provide a funding source.
Well, it surely shouldn't be something they're looking the other way on. And the opportunities, both financially, through jobs, construction, and they already exist here. We're having this conversation like it's the boogeyman. We've got one right across the street from where we're sitting right now. It's a 10-story data center that's paying some serious tax revenue so that our schools can function.
Yeah, you were saying that we have, what, like 7 or 8 of these things throughout the city limits.
Big ones. You've got them out in Chesterfield. You've got them. They're everywhere. If you've got a business of certain substance, the hospitals, for instance, you have to have these data centers to be able to operate. There's a data center right now that operates a major hospital system right here in Chesterfield, Missouri. There's no outrage. And guess what? They're paying a lot of tax dollars and it's going in. Why the city of St. Louis, that's going broke, can't pave the roads, can't police the streets because we don't have revenue, are going to tell the data centers to go elsewhere? It's nonsense.
That's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. It's the voice of St. Louis, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the Hancock and Kelly Show on KMOX. We'll take you to the top of the hour, then we'll stick around with Amy and Chris. And John, I'm sure you watched the Attorney General's performance in front of Congress this previous week.
I failed to catch all 5 hours of it, but I saw the highlights.
I got depressed. And the reason I got depressed is, yes, she acted a fool. We've lost decorum. We've lost an ability to have a conversation. I used to like when I was a kid watching Prime Minister's Questions on C-SPAN because those people acted a fool.
Right.
Well, that's now our government. We had an attorney general saying, no, I'm not going to do this. The Dow's over 50,000 and you're this and you're not a lawyer. What's going on? And is that part of the reason the president's approval rating is just going through the floor?
Well, I think the economy probably has more to do with the approval rating at this point and some of the ICE excesses. But this lack of decorum, as you say, is more pronounced now than it has been. But these congressional hearings going back more than a decade have been performative art, you know, with both parties. But yes, I thought what the Attorney General Pam Bondi did for 5 hours on what was that, Monday? Yeah, it was Monday of this week. Was sad because there are very serious, legitimate issues that she is dealing with, not the least of which is what's up with the Epstein files? Why don't we have those 3 million documents? Why are there things redacted that shouldn't be? Why are there names disclosed that shouldn't be? And she didn't answer those questions. And I look back, you know, and whether it be Bill Barr or John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General of this nation under George W. Bush, Eric Holder,
Eric Garland, they all have to go and answer questions.
They do. And this performance by Pam Bondi was unlike the performance of any of those predecessors. And it's entirely possible that this is what our politics has become, and it's not going to change. I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I pray you're wrong, because I'm thinking about the State of the Union that's coming up, and Donald Trump will continue to do his bombastic personal attacks. And I'm just hopeful that my party can find a way to sit there quietly, because we've got to be able to resume some decorum and some of the majesty that existed behind this government. I think of the days when I was just becoming politically aware, watching Ronald Reagan walk in there, who my family had taught me was the worst human being on the planet.
Yeah.
But to see him taught with respect, acted, you know, treated with respect and decorum, and vice versa. Those days are gone, and it can't be this way. This is not the way that you run a railroad. This is the way that you ruin a democracy.
Well, we've either entered a new era for America, or we're going to be the public, and ultimately it's in the hands of the voters. The public will be so repulsed by the tone and tenor of our politics that there's a rejection of it and a reaction to it. It's one of those two things is going to happen. I fear that the electorate on the whole doesn't mind these kinds of theatrics, and some rather enjoy them and find them entertaining.
The president's polling's just, it's plummeting. In fact, there was a poll that came out this week that people said they preferred Joe Biden over Donald Trump. That was not the case.
Ever.
It's almost, yeah, as an inverse. And now we find ourselves in a place where, and he's not recalibrating. He has to know that he's going to get slaughtered in the upcoming elections, yet he's not changing behavior.
Yes. Well, and I don't know how much countervailing voices he hears, though. I mean, his folks that are in his ear may be telling him that, man, you're doing great, Donald, keep it up. You know, I rather suspect that's the case with this particular cabinet.
Well, that's it for us, brother.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and I hope entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.